Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast, brought to you by Smeg Classic Rewards, on offer now at Harvey Norman for a limited time.
Oh, good morning, Melbourne Town. 25 degrees today in the best city in the world. Carlton's playing Collingwood. If you've been down the coast this week, the surf's been pumping. It's just been the best place in the world. And what a show we've got. We're going to Leicester City to speak to Jobber, the big man who plays the drums, to tell us what it was like when his side took out the EPL title. Denver to speak about the young Australian that has been drafted there in the NFL. Greg Rust will bring us all things motorsport. The Duke is coming on, Johnny Hastings, to talk about the cricket. It's an Olympic year, so we'll get Libby Trickett on as well. Logies to talk about, all sorts to get through. And all I hear now when I walk down the street, people come up to me and say, how good is your new co-host, Brendan Favola? They're loving you, Fev. Good morning, great man.
Great intro, Howie. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day Saturday is, and it's 24 degrees. Good day for snags.
Good day for playing footy. Who's Deer Park up against today?
Deer Park are playing Werribee Districts.
Chappie's Mob.
Is he
going to play? I saw him the other day. He said he's coaching, but will play at some point.
Grand final replay, mate. So I'm tipping he might put the boots on today and sit in front of my hole, and then I'll go whack.
Look out, Chappie. A lot to get through in the show. Next, we have to talk about the footy. The Hawks, too good for Richmond last night. What a day in Melbourne. Mark out. Brendan Favola, hope you're smiling where you are. This is the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Fev, this show is always fun to do, as you're starting to find out, but sometimes it just really puts a smile on my face when you can get guests like this next young man, a Melbourne man by the name of Adam Gotsis, 63rd overall in the NFL draft in Chicago, going all the way to the Denver Broncos, the highest ever pick for an Australian in the NFL draft. He has just finished a day of rookie training, and he's on the line now. G'day, Adam.
How you doing, guys?
Fantastic to speak to you. Tell us, what does the day involve today? Rookie training in the NFL, mate. Big congratulations, and we'll get to that. But tell us about your day.
Yeah, so pretty much 6 a.m. wake up. We're all put up in a hotel at the moment, so bus leaves at about 6:10, and then head over to the facility and eat breakfast, then meetings at 8, and then basically meetings up until about, I'd say probably about 11. Then we're on the field for about 2 hours, then come in, shower, grab some lunch, and then meetings at about 2 o'clock for another 2-3 hours, and then back out on the field for another hour and a half of practice, and then hit the weight room, and then shower, eat, and back to the hotel. So, oof. You know, but it doesn't stop there. Once you get back, it's, you know, studying the playbook, and yeah, it's just a lot of install at the moment. So just learning plays and yeah, just everything. It's pretty crazy at the moment.
6'5", 130 kilos. Well, breakfast, is that like 6 chickens and 4 hot dogs and 8 hamburgers and 15 eggs?
No, I mean, it's pretty good there. They've got a pretty nice facility, and you know, a bunch of chefs in there that pretty much cook you whatever you want. But they've got, you know, just a variety of stuff, so it's pretty much eat all you want and get after it. So it's pretty good.
Sounds like a tough life there, mate. But obviously, you're a massive Kangaroos man. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's not too much playbooks going on in AFL footy. It's like just kick it to the forwards, and that's pretty much where the job's done. What's the hardest thing about going into the NFL and also playing college? I speak to a few mates that have gone over to punt. Reading the playbook, that's got to be tough, obviously, going to a new organisation and learning all the plays.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, scheme's such a big thing in this sport, and, you know, matching personnels and things like that. So you got to make sure you got your best guys on their best guys in every situation. So basically, my defense, at college, we played like 4 defensive linemen and 3 linebackers. And then here, 3 defensive linemen and 4 linebackers. So that's a complete like flip of the scheme. And it's all different techniques and stuff. So there's so much detail to the game that is unseen to just the regular fan. But if you've played or kind of played Madden and things like that, you understand that there's so much more to the game than just,
love Madden,
you know, run the ball and hit people. Yeah. So, you know, it's never ending the learning and stuff, but you know, that's just unreal at the moment. Just loving it.
Best thing about this, mate, you're going to be on next year's Madden.
That's it. So.
It's a long way from throwing the footy around playing for the Monash Warriors. So tell us a bit about your background. You played AFL, and then you got into the Monash Warriors, which is where you play American football in this part of the world. It's a great story, mate.
Yeah, so grew up playing Aussie rules, and you know, played for a few clubs, you know, just in the Yarra Junior Football League, and then you know, got to about 15 years old and wanted to go down and give Gridiron a shot. So me and my brother went down there and, yeah, just, you know, played and fell in love with the sport. And, you know, continued to play junior footy as well up until I was about 18. But, yeah, just fell in love with American football and just opened some doors for me. And then, you know, met some people that put in some good words for me at some schools. And, you know, it all worked out once I got over to Georgia Tech and just worked hard. So, you know, it's pretty unreal how it all unfolded, that, you know, just worked hard and, you know, just took advantage of every situation.
Adam, tough question to answer, but in the last couple of weeks, has there been one moment or one experience or one person you've met that's just blown your whiskers off, mate, that you thought, wow, this is actually happening to me, a young bloke from Melbourne?
I'd just say, you know, the team visits, just talking to coaching staff and, you know, GMs on the phone and stuff. It's all just been unreal, you know. You hear about these guys and you see them on the sidelines on Sundays, and then, you know, you're sitting in a room with them all of a sudden and you're shaking their hand and they're watching your game film and stuff. So, you know, it gets pretty surreal at that point, but you got to realize, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business and, you know, they're trying to get the best player that they can. So you really try, it's a job interview every day. We're out there, every single meeting, every single person we're interacting with, it's a job interview because they're reporting back to someone. So, you know, you're kind of on edge at all times and, you know, it can get stressful, but you just got to, you know, trust in what you've done and, you know yourself better than anyone else. So you just got to work hard and things pay off for you.
How are you? You're going to the reigning Super Bowl champions, and I love going over to the Super Bowl come February, so I'll be hitting you up for some tickets. But anyway, how are you finding the climate up there? You know, the obviously high up and the sea levels, and are you getting accustomed to that?
Yeah, slowly. I mean, it's just been the first day out here and you're kind of just getting used to a little bit. You find that you get fatigued a little quicker than normal. But, you know, it's just an awesome place to be at. You know, they've got the best facilities I've been around and, you know, just awesome staff all around, including the coaches and everyone. And, you know, I'm just excited for all the vets to get in on Monday and just start learning for them. But, you know, as far as football and stuff goes, football is football no matter where you are in the world. So at the end of the day, you've got to come out and work, and everyone else is in that same climate as you. So, you know, it can't be an excuse. You just got to push through it.
You're always in the clouds. You're always acclimatized. Your head's in the clouds, eh, Howie?
No, I'm not too sure about that. Hey, Adam, as we let you go, we're speaking to a gentleman earlier on called Troy Rink, who's the Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. Yeah. And we asked him about money, and he threw some figures around relating to your name, sort of $7 million and then upward deals towards $20 million. Now, that's obviously a long way down the track for you, but gee, if things work out, you get tremendously well rewarded in American sports and no more so than in the NFL. Does that blow your mind?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the money's always a nice thing, but, you know, at the end of the day, to do something like this and to commit the level that you need to commit at, it's got to be more than money that drives you. And I think, you know, that's something that, you know, you got to find within yourself. And yeah, you know, you might have a payday, you know, coming out of the draft or something like that. But at the end of the day, you're trying to make a living that sets you up for a lifetime. So, you know, you're trying to get to that second contract. And then, you know, we saw a guy that was playing at the Denver Broncos, Malik Jackson, who just signed a new contract with the Dolphins. I think it was just like 6 years, $90 million. So, you know, that's his second contract. So, I mean, if you can get to that second contract, that's the one that sets you up for life. You know, this one's pretty good and you can't complain about it, but all this draft process and stuff, all that does is just get your foot in the door and in a camp, because they can still cut you now, even though they draft you. So, you know, you're never safe and you can't get comfortable. So you just got to work every day and just take advantage of the opportunities.
Hey, Adam, we're way over time here, but it's just so fantastic to speak with you. We appreciate you jumping on the line and being so accessible. Have a wonderful camp. Hopefully everything goes well in the preseason, and hopefully we can speak to you when you've played a couple of games in the NFL. Adam, we really appreciate
your
time.
Good luck, mate.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Great to speak to Adam Gotsis.
And you just touched on that, Howie. I follow the NFL, you know, quite religiously, and now he's been drafted, he might rock up to camp and they don't like the way he goes about it, and they can just cut you straight away. It's really cutthroat, the NFL business, and they've got to be on edge and they've got to perform every single practice.
second contract.
Second contract.
All about the second contract. Stoked to have our next guest on, Fev. He's one of the nicest blokes in Australian sport. Unfortunately, he's out injured of the IPL at the moment, but he'll be home watching his happy Hawks. He'll be happy with that. Here's the big Duke, Johnny Hastings. Hello, Dukey.
Yeah, morning, boys. How are we? I was there last night, mate.
What'd you think?
Early on.
What'd you think?
We just keep finding a way to win, don't we? I mean, good teams do that, but yeah, I must admit, I was a little nervous early on.
I like how you say, don't we, and good teams like us, as Leafy, you played at centre-half forward last night, Duke.
That's it, exactly.
Hey, mate, what's going on? The ankles caused you some grief. You've home from the IPL, you've played a lot of cricket in the last three or four seasons. I guess it was going to come at one stage or another, the physical style of cricket you play.
Yeah, spot on, Howie. It was bound to happen at some stage. I've had six back-to-back seasons going from England and back to Australia, so... It was bad timing, though. The only real tour that I ever wanted to go on as a kid was the West Indies. I've missed that one a couple of times, so devastated not to be there, mate. But, yeah, I've got a bit of a stress fracture in my ankle and had a couple of bone spurs removed. So I'll get all that sorted and hopefully be right for Sri Lanka in early August. There's a couple of one-days there, so... Hopefully, I'll be right for that one.
But the IPL fascinates me, and I was speaking to Fev before, and we were just talking about how successful the Big Bash has been coming, but it's been explained to me that every single IPL game is a build-up and a grand final style. Can you just take us into what it's like playing in that competition? You know, the money involved, Watto's getting $2 million for his 6 or 7 weeks. You were on the big coin as well. What's it like being part of the IPL?
It's extraordinary how it's a different world. I mean, you know, you've got so many people from all walks of life, so many nationalities in the one team. So it's like nothing else. And every game, they just want to win so badly. All the, you know, from the owners come in and give you a pep talk to inspirational people coming in. We had Mike Horn, who's an explorer, you know, circumnavigated the world 58,000 times and came in and gave us a pep talk. So you get to meet some interesting people and, you know, there's some good people, there's some bad people, but, you know, the cricket's really good as well. So that's the main thing. And they put on a really good show, the Indians.
Now, how are you? Know, Hasto's one of the great men of cricket, one of the great men all time. And I remember he's made it big now, so it doesn't really catch up with me anymore. But I remember one time we catched up, you might remember this, Hasto, we're down at a nice watering hole on our way to a Wednesday night watching Mundine fight, actually, and we sat there and had a few froths. And
absolutely.
I was talking to Hasto about Test cricket and said, mate, you going to get a crack or what? And he goes, nah, I'm way off. And I had a relatively big night, Howie, that night, and got home and woke up about 1 o'clock the next day. And Hasto's in the nets in Perth bowling for Australia. And then he gets his test debut the next day. What the hell happened there, Hasto?
Yeah, I know, Steve. Mate, it's been a while. We need to catch up, mate.
Well, now you made it big. You don't ring me anymore, but that's okay.
You've been over in the jungle losing weight. I can't keep up with you, mate. You're everywhere. But you're right, mate. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Cricket's such a funny game. You just never know what the next adventure is going to hold. Didn't know I was going to be playing in England for the last few seasons either. Didn't know I was going to get picked up in the IPL. So that's just a lovely game. I mean, that's what I love about the game. So, you just never know, I guess, what's around the corner.
Yeah, it would be good to catch up, mate. Everyone's calling me Pizza now. That's my new nickname. Everyone wants a slice.
Are you listening to this? I thought the duck was out of control, but this is a whole nother level. Mate, talking about your first test match, that was it Ricky Ponting's last test match?
It certainly was, Howie, yeah.
So you came into your first test match, Ricky retired after his 150-plus, and you sort of got down there in Gilchrist's cellar. Is that a true story? I've heard a rumour as to that. What
a big
way,
party at Gillies.
What a way to play your first test.
Oh, it was amazing. We had we went in. I mean, Ricky came in and was pretty emotional and spoke to the boys beforehand. And I sort of didn't know what was going on. I didn't know whether I was going to be playing. And then, you know, 5 minutes before the toss, yep, mate, you're in. So it was a bit of a whirlwind. And then, you know, we started really well and then got pantsed in 4 days. they wheeled in 42 bottles of Grange for the great Ricky Ponting. And then we went off to Gilly's house and Gilly put on a massive spread and somehow I got locked in his cellar. So what do you do? You just got to drink your way out, mate. So that was about it.
Well, the Gilly's a bit flat on that because the 42 bottles of Grange were for every test entry for Ricky Ponting. So he got 42 bottles at Grange, and Gilly got like a silver clock that you put on your mantelpiece when he retired, and he was really flat about it.
It was an expensive clock.
I was actually with Gilly the day before. It was day three, and he got the phone call because he was throwing the shindig. Yep. And we were down in Adelaide playing a test game for charity in 2020. And he's got the call, you might need to come home. This is going to be over in 4 days.
Right.
You're hosting a party. But Bobby Quiney, one of your good mates, mate, just liking my work on Twitter. Pizza.
He's
a great man, Quiney. Thanks, Quiney.
Apparently it was about...
came together last night.
Apparently it was about the Duke, who's the guest we have on at the moment, Feb. But I appreciate what you're doing. Mate, moving forward, it's a really interesting one with T20 cricket. We're already reading in the paper today how popular the Big Bash has become. Test cricket, players getting pulled left, right and centre. Where do you sit on it all, Haystay? Because it's a really important 3 or 4 years for cricket, I reckon, moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, cricket needed T20 and that's been exceptional. We've got a whole new crowd coming through the gate. It's exactly what we needed. But now, now I think we need to shift the focus back onto test cricket. I like what they're doing with the day-night games.
Yeah.
I think they're a really good invention. If we can get more people coming through the gates, because people are watching it on TV at home, but it's not the same. You know, you go out and play in front of 15, 20,000. It doesn't really have the same ring to it as 60 plus at the G. So the more we can get people with bums on seats and enjoying cricket, enjoying coming and watching cricket again, I think is going to be a good thing. So I think you're right, Howie. It's pretty delicate for cricket over the next 3 or 4 years.
Now, Haystay, talking about the MCG, you're donning the green again, mate, for the Stars?
Yeah, I'll be in the Stars, Feb. I've just signed up for another few years, mate. So
cha-ching.
I'll be running around.
There's nothing better, Howie. I knew you obviously commentated and you're telling me how good you were. That's why the ratings are going up. But nothing better than going to the G, putting on the Guernsey with the Stars on the back and watching the boys play. And as you said, in front of 60,000, it's incredible. And I can take my kids, because if I take them to a test match, they get bored, Haysto. But you take them to a 2020, the fireworks are off.
That's
they bang the bangers. It's such a great concept. And when the big Duke's coming in from the punt road in and he just bowls these blokes, he charges in, doesn't he?
And surely, Duke, you'd like the Big Bash to stay on Network 10 moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. That's another big one, Howie. Hopefully it does.
If you got any spare change, could you donate it to the Channel 10 cause? That'd be good. Oh, hey, Duke, absolutely. Great to speak with you. Hopefully your Hawks keep flying and hopefully you're ready to go for that Sri Lankan tour later in the year. Always great to have a chat with you, mate.
Thanks, Howie. Thanks, Peter. I'll catch up with you soon, mate.
Good, mate. Good luck with the recovery, mate. And we'll have to go to a footy game together and have a froth.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you, buddy.
Peter. Big story in the EPL this week. Tottenham needed to get the 3 points against Chelsea to retain their chance to win the Premiership over the top of Leicester. They couldn't get it done. This is how it went down.
Willian plays this short wide to Hazard down the left. Mark Clattenburg looks at his watch and blows his whistle. And Tottenham Hotspur from taking this any further in the title race, and Leicester City, for the first time in their history, are champions of England.
Well, there it was, a massive moment in world sport. Leicester becoming the champions of the English Premier League. This is the Dead Set Legends, Mark Howe, Brendan Favola, Fev. Last week, we spoke to a fellow called Jobber, who's the big unit who plays the drums for Leicester. Had missed, how many games did he tell us he missed?
He's missed none in 32 years and 6 in 25 years.
An absolutely extraordinary record. He was excited, hoping Leicester would win. He joins us on the line now, the week after the performance. G'day, Job.
Yeah, how are you, fellas? All right.
Well, more importantly, how are you? Just give us a brief rundown of your week.
Surely you haven't slept.
What sleep? Who needs sleep on a week like this? If I'm totally honest, well, I watched the Spurs and Chelsea game on Monday night, and obviously Spurs went 2-0 up, and it was a bit like, oh, well, we'll have to wait till Saturday and beat Everton. But obviously Hazard managed to get the equaliser before the end, and the whole place erupted. And I went out to celebrate with probably, 15, 20,000 other fans outside the stadium. And about 3:45 in the morning, I thought, oh, better go home. Got work. So I got home and I thought to myself, what am I doing here? So I went into the house, brushed my teeth, and then went back out and I went and sat in the town centre of Leicester, and there was a few tears, if I'm totally honest. And ever since then, it's just been a bit, wow, it's just been so overwhelming this week. And it's kind of watching it from an out-of-body experience. It's like watching people celebrate and then really realising that is, that's not somebody else celebrating. And I tell you what, mate, the party tomorrow is going to be absolutely phenomenal.
Jobber, the rumour back in Australia, mate, is the Tottenham boys thought they'd get to a 2-0 start just to show them how good they are. But apparently they all had a piece of the 5,000 to 1, so they just let Chelsea put a couple in the back of the net.
Well, you never know, dear. You never know. It won't be the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last. joking aside, I think Spurs kind of faltered at the end, and I think I'd rather have been in our situation with points clear rather than be chasing the pack. So, at the end of the day, we got over the finish line. Yes, we didn't play, but who cares? You know what I mean? We're Premier League champions, and to me, that's all that matters. And I'm just waiting for tomorrow now. It's going to be absolutely off the chain.
We'll get tomorrow in a moment, but you said there was some tears. It's an amazing thing, sport, isn't it? This has become such a big part of the sporting landscape. But to you people in Leicester, it's a massive boost for the town. And as you just said, you teared up. It was an emotional few days.
Of course, because take sport out of it. It's a massive passion. I suppose it's like, I know if you're one of your family graduating or one of your kids having kids, or it's that kind of, for me, it's that kind of emotion. So I don't know, mate, and it's out there. It was the best week of my life, to be honest.
Speaking
about,
going
to get better tomorrow.
Speaking about having kids, Jobber, you know, tomorrow's a massive day for you Leicester City fans, but, you know, I look forward to, you know, biggest day was getting married. I've got 3 girls. That was a big day, but I reckon all those guys there tomorrow is the biggest day of your life.
Without a shadow of a doubt. To see Wes Morgan lift that trophy tomorrow night about 7:30, if I'm honest, I don't think there'll be a dry eye in the house, and rightly so. One of my friends has been fortunate enough to win a competition to present the trophy to the captain, and he's not slept since Tuesday. he can't believe it. He's like, and everyone's just like, he's stopping him in the street and saying, mate, you must be so proud. And he's like, he wants to relish every moment. And I'm like, well, rightly so, because he could potentially be the only person in this world that's ever going to present Leicester City with a trophy.
Now, there's going to obviously be a movie made about this, one of the greatest sporting stories in history, I would have thought. Now, who's going to play you?
Pitt.
Why can't I just play myself?
Oh, I like that gear. That's what
that's a great option.
That's what DSL loves. That sort of gear. Someone in America, pick a big star in America. Who do you reckon?
There's nobody who can play me, surely.
Nah,
I'd love it. Nobody who can have my character, my appearance. Surely there's nobody who can play me.
Wide load.
Hey, John.
You know what? If the producers, let me put this out there. If the producers of that movie are out there listening, give me a shout.
Jobber, listen, I look forward to when you are out in Australia touring, being the star of this movie. Mate, congratulations to you and your footy club. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Have a wonderful
night tomorrow night. Stay safe. And,
we'll do it, and have a great day. And I'll speak to you soon. You take care.
Good luck tomorrow. Make sure you smash that drum tomorrow, mate. I'll be watching.
Mate, it's going to get absolutely destroyed.
A massive night tomorrow night for Jobber and Leicester City.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
Go, Leicester.
He's still on the line. It's going to be a huge night when they get presented with the EPL trophy. Mark Howe, Brendan Favola. Plenty to come. Well done, Leicester, on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Big story this week, Fev. A 6'5", 130-kilo man by the name of Adam Gotsis has joined the reigning Super Bowl champions, the Denver Broncos, which is fantastic. We're
massive
starting
story.
To make a real impression, aren't we, over there?
Yes. It was normally about punters, obviously, going over Australia. We've got over 250 kids, I think, in college. But now, you know, with the big fella from Queensland going over there a couple of years ago, and you obviously need to be the monster. And, you know, Australia's really really trying to tap into the NFL. And I watched the draft, and the draft's it's an amazing spectacle.
Well, we were sitting in here watching, and it was absolutely unbelievable. To bring us up to date, we will now go to Denver, where we'll speak to a gentleman by the name of Troy Rink. He's the beat writer for the Denver Post and looks after the Broncos. G'day, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good,
wonderful
mate.
To speak to you. Tell us a little bit about our Adam Gotsis and how he's been received at Denver.
The people are embracing him here. They don't know a lot about him, even though he played at Georgia Tech. He was a little bit of a surprise pick in the second round, but fans are thrilled because the defensive line coach, Bill Kolar, who might be the best in the NFL, he highly recommended him. He was the one stumping for the Broncos to draft him. So if Bill Kolar thinks he can play, then obviously fans think he can play. And Adam's a very charismatic guy, smart guy, bright guy. He did great interviews when he got to Denver after being drafted. So I would say fans are rooting for him.
Yeah, don't worry about those Americans, mate. The Australians are never a surprise, mate. We tick all boxes over here. Now, the Denver Broncos, have they started camp yet? Is it underway? Has he got to meet all his teammates?
He practiced. Well, they had rookie mini camp today. It was the first time the rookies have been gathered in practice. But Adam is dealing with a left knee injury where he had an ACL surgery. So they're not expecting Gotsis to play until late August, early September. And they purposely want him to go slow. They know that he's a workout animal, and they don't want him to get hurt and re-injure it. So he's out there with his teammates, but he's going to be limited in what he can do for a few more months.
In Australia, we've been following the Jarryd Hayne story, Troy, for the last year and a half, and avoiding the cut and making it, eventually getting a game. Do you see Adam Gotsis playing for the reigning Super Bowl champions this season?
Oh, absolutely. Now, Jarryd Hayne was a fantastic story. He was in Denver last year during training camp when the Niners played the Broncos. What an athlete. What a fantastic story. He was a bit of a long shot. Adam Gotsis is not a long shot. He's going to play. It's just a matter of when. I mean, they think he can be a Derek Wolfe-type player, and Derek Wolfe was one of the best players on their defense the last half of last season. So Adam Gotsis is going to play. It's just a matter of when.
Troy, just as we let you go, we're fascinated always by American sport and the sheer scale, size, and numbers involved. A man like Adam Gotsis, if he makes a success of his NFL career, throw some numbers at me as far as salary would go.
Well, he'd be in line to make, you know, guaranteed money. He'd be looking at, you know, $25, $30 million. Again, he's going to slot in a rookie contract where he'll get, you know, roughly $7.5 million, which is great money. And then if he plays well over the next 4 years, he would be in line to get $30 million guaranteed over 5 years. So
it's not bad, Howie.
Make huge money.
A bit like our radio gig,
well,
Howie.
Yeah, is this sort of what you pull out of the Denver Post, Troy, that type of money or not?
No, I make more of like the money the guys that give them rides to practice.
Hey, Troy, we really appreciate your time, mate. Great to have a chat with you, and hopefully it works out this season. We might be able to get you on the line a couple of times to tell us how Adam's going. We appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Well, breaking news, and thank you very much to Troy. Adam Gotsis is currently at rookie practice in Denver for the Broncos. The media people have just got hold of us and said, hopefully sometime around 11:30 we'll get him on the line, Fev.
That's amazing.
That's great, something to look forward to.
Straight off the park, which is good.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Sunday night, Australia's television's night of night. It's the Logies and On Debut, featuring in a nomination for Best Reality Program for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Welcome to Brendan Favola.
Yes, big night, Howie. I got the invitation and never thought I'd be going to a Logies and opened up. I was quite chuffed and said, Brendan Favola, that doesn't have a partner or a guest. So
no guests at the Logies.
No partners. So, looking forward to it. Went down and got the suit down at Chapel Street at Men's Club on Friday. Got the bow tie, so I'm looking quite dapper.
Bow tie.
Yeah, got the bow tie, mate. So looking forward to it, and obviously doing a bit of work on the red carpet as well for my other job in the mornings from Monday to Friday, which will be good. So looking forward to it, mate.
Well,
so,
it's a good, you know what, all you hear at this stage of the year is people in the television industry drop their, I'm too cool for school, oh yeah, the Logies, I don't want to go, it's a pain, I don't want to go, but I've got to go, I've been told I've got to go, it's a shocker. I don't like that attitude.
No, I'm
all
up
about. Just get there and enjoy yourself.
I'm up and about.
Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Well, hopefully you get up for your reality television program. I've had the pleasure of going a few times before to the Logies. So I just want to give you a couple of ideas as to what it's about. My first experience a few years ago when the footy was nominated on Channel 10, and I reckon in 3.5 hours, you got one beer served to you. And this is without a word of a line. We were talking about this before, and I asked the waiter about it, and he said, oh, no, there was a few incidents at a Brownlow a couple of years ago.
What happened?
A couple of fellas had too many beers.
Did they?
And
footballers, mate. They don't know when to stop, but hopefully us TV actors.
That's exactly right.
I'll be on the waters, mate, because I've got to do a bit of red carpet stuff, and then obviously the Logies. I'll be up at 4:45 in the morning for breakfast radio, so I'll be very low key.
And the Channel 10 after party as well.
Yeah,
I've got to kicking along to that.
Got to interview some hopefully people that have had a couple of wines and
hopefully won a Logie for the
and won
the
a Logie.
I'll
be walking around with mine.
One bloke to interview. One bloke to interview, especially the Big Bash is nominated in the sporting category. If that whether it wins or not, Adam Gilchrist will be there. You've never seen a consistent performer at the level of what Gilly does. He just
Gilly. Yeah, had a few froths with him before, and he's a massive cult man too.
He is a big cult man,
which is good. But I'm looking forward to Logies, mate, the red carpet, doing all that sort of stuff. And it's something that I've never done before. So, yeah, obviously watch on TV and never thought I'd ever be going to a Logies, and you know, to be for our show to go up, and hopefully we can do well and get up there with Jules and Dr. Chris. He's a good looking rooster, Dr. Chris,
he is,
isn't he?
Yeah. Can I let you a little bit into what happens if you actually win a Logie? We won a Logie.
It always comes back to Harry, doesn't it?
It doesn't, because I was so little to do with it. But Channel 10 won a Logie for the footy, and they said, if you win, go up on stage. So I went up beside Stephen Quatermain, but they said only one of you can speak. So I'm the proverbial spare at the wedding. I'm just standing there looking like a clown beside him as Quarters, you know, gave the thank you speech. And then you go to a press conference afterwards and you go into this room and there's like 30 journos and, you know, they speak to the neighbour starlet or this or Carrie Bickmore about winning the gold Logie. And so they say, coming into the room now for the best sports coverage, Channel 10, AFL football, Stephen Quatermain and Mark Howard. And you sit up there at the front, nobody asked a question. Not one from the floor. Not one. And Gordon's not like, okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. But that's good then. You don't miss anything. You get to go back in and mingle with the patrons. But I'm tipping we're up against some pretty big shows,
the
I think.
Bachelor will be up there.
We've got that covered.
Master Chef
is
My Kitchen.
My Kitchen Rules.
Up as well?
Yeah, I think they might be in that category. I'm not sure. So obviously, you know, the people, obviously, I think it's a TV Logie. They vote through there, the public, and they voted me to win. So can't see why we can't win the Logie.
Have a good night.
Anyway.
Stay safe, Brendan. I look forward to having a full wrap of the Logies with you next Saturday.
Look forward to it.
Plenty to come on the Dead Set Legends with a potential Logie winner who will probably get a gold Logie one day the way he's going. Brendan Favola on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. He's over in Barbagallo, WAVH today. Hello, Thruster.
Don't you ever give me grief about talking tyres ever again. That was quite possibly the most boring radio I heard on hold.
I'm with you, Rusty. I fell asleep, mate. I had to watch the basketball.
Extraordinary that the Eagle. It's amazing that I'm such a charismatic, entertaining person, yet he's so boring, Thrusty.
What has happened there?
I try to hit the dumb button, but I don't have one.
Now, we got one for you. Don't worry about that.
I don't have one for you.
Now, Feb, you wanted to talk VH with Thrusty.
Yeah, VH,
mate.
Story
actually, that you're on.
Yeah, I actually was watching the V8s last night, Rusty, but what's the reaction been like with the Volvo? Shock decision to quit?
Yeah, that's the bottom line, Fev. It's been a massive shock to everyone here, and we can't quite figure out why it's happened, because when we spoke on the show probably about 2 weeks ago now, everything pointed to Volvo staying in our sport. They seemed, you know, Scott McLaughlin cleaned up at Phillip Island. Everything pointed to a continuation. And then Scott went over to the Scandinavian Touring Car Championship, wowed them over there with a brilliant performance where he finished on the podium. And not long after they got back, things for some reason changed. And it sounds as though it will come to an end at the end of this season. But Gary Rogers, the team boss, remains hopeful of trying to find a resolution of some kind to keep running those Volvos, which have been mighty. And yesterday, Scott went very quick in one of the practice sessions. We've been affected by rain here, but the team kind of gathered around in the big huddle, and that was the best way for them to respond to what's been a difficult week. Well played.
Thruster, the fuel consumption on the Volvo, the Eagle was just reporting on his caravan trip that the new Jeep Cherokee gets 14.1 litres per 100 kilometres, as opposed to the old Nithin Pathfinder, which got 20.1 per 100 kilometres.
He's still going with this, Rusty.
How does the Volvo go?
Are we checking the ratings on the program today?
Well, they're that high.
Don't worry,
it doesn't matter.
I'm pumping them up, mate. I'm pumping them up. I think the Merc does about 10.1.
Oh, come on with the Merc. Where are you getting the Merc from?
Mate, Mercedes Brighton. It's the only place to get your Mercedes.
Duck used to get one.
When's
Howie getting his hands on one of these Mercedes?
Oh, when you stop talking boring stuff like you were just talking. Now, there's been six different winners from seven races in the V8 so far. And by the looks of practice yesterday when I was watching, it might... Might be a different winner again.
Bev, as we drive, it is absolutely bucketing down. We're not far from the track at the moment, and there are rivers across the road. So it's going to be a really tough day for the drivers. And yesterday it was on and off like this. One moment we'd get a heavy shower, the next it would dry up. So it's really difficult to get a read. But those that did perform well, Mark Winterbottom, so he's third in the championship at the moment. And the champ hasn't had a race win so far this year. So he's won. They were fast here last year, those Fords. And Craig Lowndes' record at this venue, guys, is unbelievable. It's the most successful track for Lowndes of any of them that he's competed at.
Has Winterbottom got a bit of a premiership hangover, or is
no,
the car not running well?
I actually disagree. I think he's gone the other way this year because everyone's put the pressure on him to, you know, to defend the title. He's just quietly just squirreled away the points. We've had a variety of winners, and I think we'll get more yet. It's been a very competitive start to the year. This will be a tough championship, Bev.
Thrust, a big story in Formula One. Last week at the Russian Grand Prix, Daniil Kvyat pretty much drove Sebastian Vettel off the road, not once, but twice. All of a sudden, Red Bull, so this is Dan Ricciardo's team, Fev, have come and said, right, we're going to demote the young Russian back to the second team, Toro Rosso, and they're bringing in Max Verstappen, who's a very young man, but for mine, he's just going to rack up world titles at some point.
Well,
he's a star.
Howie, I thought they'd be wrapped that they're getting into Sebastian Vettel and smashing up his Ferrari, because he was a Red Bull man.
His audio, when it happened, by gee, we'll have to play that later. Well, we can't, because there's just too many beeps, beeps, beeps. It was extraordinary, but gee, it's a big story. As you know, Rusty, this Max Verstappen, he is a potential world champion in a multiple variety style.
And the Russian that he's replaced, Danny Kvyat, I think, Howie, he's in real trouble. He will struggle to get... He's been demoted, as you say, to the sister Red Bull team, the Toro Rosso squad. Verstappen is such a talent. There's no way I think that Kvyat will get back in. And you're right, it's been a massive reaction to, you know, what was some, you know, pretty crazy driving from him there at Sochi. So in career terms, that's a huge blow for the Russian, but a great opportunity for Verstappen. It's a very good move. And it also diffuses a bit of drama, because Carlos Sainz Jr., who's the son of the former World Rally Champion, he and Verstappen, there's a lot of tension between those guys in the Toro Rosso team, so they've now diffused that a bit by the move.
All right, Rusty, you put your race suit on. Enjoy yourself
get
over there
the
in the
sandpit
in WA.
I'm going to need the umbrella, Fev.
That's Greg Rust. After 10 o'clock, we're going to speak to a man from the Broncos all the way over there in Denver to find out about the young Aussie that's been drafted into the NFL. We'll get Libby Trickett on. Johnny Hastings still to join us as well, Fevalenko.
Yeah, I've got some big news, mate. Some of the greatest battle in history, and there's one coming up today, and we'll save that for a bit later in the show. But just, ooh.
Fev's footy flashbacks.
The Bowlers kick the most for
Well, it's Carlton-Collingwood today, so we'll get to the flashback in a moment. But you're excited for this Carlton-Collingwood game for one big reason, Fev. This has sort of been editorial style.
Oh, there's been some great battles in history, Howie. Silvani versus Dunstall. Ali versus Foreman. Batman v Superman. But this will pale in comparison to Liam Jones and Jesse White today. Mate, they'll be hanging from the rafters today at the G to watch two modern-day superstars go toe-to-toe. If you can't get to the game, anyone listening, get to a pub, have a few froths, or get down to your mate's place, get on the couch, get the popcorn out, because you'll be able to tell your grandkids you witness history. What a time to be alive for Carlton and Collingwood supporters.
I think that's a little unkind.
Why?
Did you write that yourself?
Oh, mate, some of my best.
Or did you rip it off Facebook?
Maybe, but geez, it's a big battle, isn't it? Oh my God!
Jesse White, he's been in the VFL obviously this season. It'll be his first game in the Collingwood colours this year. It's always a massive build up for this game, but I want to go back to the year 2000 when the name Favola first came into my conscious and many people's. They played a game on, it was New Year's Eve, wasn't it? The Millennium Game was called.
I can't remember, but I think it was New Year's Eve. That's why it was the Millennium Game.
Well, yeah. It was all this stuff about, remember the Y2K bug and all the computers were going to shut down, the lights at the MCG weren't going to, one of the great cons
and
ever.
Someone that played that day blew up the MCG.
All right, we go back to the Millennium Game. Go on. What have you got for us on that game?
Well,
you're actually only a very young man.
I was only a young man. I'd actually played two games the year before in 99, and my first game was actually against Collingwood, round 17 of the MCG, 90-plus thousand.
I started off
on the ground, got one handball, that was it. Simon Beaumont kicked eight in the first half, so I didn't get much of a run. But
you got one handball?
One handball. Second game, one handball. Didn't get a kick in my first year. But anyway, no one remembers that.
You didn't get a kick in your first two games?
Nah, didn't get a kick. I only played probably 16 minutes total.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Team stuff,
but
a lot
then,
of tackles.
I was just saving myself for the Millennium Game, and no one really wanted to play on New Year's Eve, and obviously for good reason, New Year's Eve.
Correct.
And obviously the last day of the Millennium. So my mates back at Narre Warren, my mate Shane Horan had a party going on, and it started at 12 o'clock, and we had to beat the G at 4, and I'm like, well, do I go to the party just before the game? It's not New Year's Eve, so... Rocked up to the game and rocked up to the party, and all the boys are sitting there and they're, you know, having a few froths and getting on the sauce, and I was quite good. Didn't have many, or any, I should say. Didn't have any. And then
one letter's difference, many or any. There's just a little M in there.
No, I didn't have any, and then drove into the game and I was quite hungry because I didn't want to eat the pies and all that was at the party. And what do you do when you're in the car? You drive, you got to get takeaway. So I stopped at the near the Star Bar. What's that? McDonald's down there. And got two McChickens. Smashed two McChickens down.
Magnificent preparation.
Great prep. Got under the MCG. And then I just went in. I usually play around one or two gears. And I just went into fifth gear straight away. And didn't matter who they put on me. I had Gavin Krasisko. I had Mel Michael, triple premiership player. Chris Tarrant. I was just, they probably all played on me at one stage. Probably both all at the same time. And kicked 12.
12.
And kicked the last goal of the millennium. That won't happen again in our lifetime. And about it. Whatever. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Did life change then? Because as I said, that's the first time I heard the name Favola. Did life change for you then or not?
Yeah, probably not in the right way, mate, because the next 2 years I was getting McChickens before every game and I couldn't get a kick. So I just thought it was all going to happen and then I didn't. But then got my diet right and then started slotting snags from everywhere.
Then got my diet right and started slotting snags from everywhere. This is Mark Howard and the very modest Brendan Favola. Plenty to come after 11, Johnny Hastings. And we'll try and speak to the big man who's been drafted into the NFL as well from Australia. Mark Howard, Brendan Favola. I'm out of words.
Oh, Dead mate, well, it's a big day at the G. Big day.
Triple M. Desert Legends, Harvey Norman, Mark Out and Brendan Favola. Don't mind us. The boys from the Saturday Rub, not too far away. If you've missed the last 3 hours of the Dead Set Legends, by G, you've missed out. This is a bit of it.
I just don't know where the Tigers are at. I think they're cooked this year. And at the end of the day, the coach falls on the sword first.
So I don't see why that's going to help, Fev. I know they talk about circuit breakers, but surely getting rid of Damien Hardwick.
Well, you can't get rid of the players, so something's got to give.
Maybe you just have to stay the course.
I don't think that happens in footy. I don't think sponsors would be too happy with that, Howie. So I think come Monday morning, something might happen. You heard it first on Dead Set Legends. Kick 12.
12.
And kick the last goal of the millennium.
Did life change for you then or not?
Yeah, probably not in the right way, mate, because the next 2 years I was getting McChickens before every game and I couldn't get a kick. There's been some great battles in history.
Mm.
Silvani versus Dunstall.
Mm.
Ali versus Foreman.
Mm.
Batman v Superman, but this will pale in comparison to Liam Jones and Jesse White today. Mate, they'll be hanging from the rafters today at the G to watch two modern-day superstars go toe-to-toe. If you can't get to the game, anyone listening, get to a pub, have a few froths, or get down to your mate's place, get on the couch, get the popcorn out. What a time to be alive.
Did you write that yourself?
Oh, mate, some of my best.
Or did you rip it off Facebook?
Maybe. Yeah, it would be good to catch up, mate. Everyone's calling me pizza now. That's my nickname. Everyone wants a slice.
Oh. Are you listening to this? I thought the duck was out of control, but this is a whole nother level. Thanks to all our guests on the show. You didn't quite hear there at the end. Adam Gotsis, wonderful to speak to him, the new NFL draftee. Fev, you're doing brilliantly well. Now, this is where we go with the Dead Set Legends of the Week, but we've added this week, we're also going with the Dead Set Donkey of the Week. But I'll start. That's it. Thanks, Hoff. I'll start with the Legend of the Week. Adam Gotsis, pick number 63 in the NFL draft, just finished his first day of rookie training. Now, I've sort of gone down this path a little bit before that it's hard sometimes to get hold of Australian sports people, maybe AFL footballers post-game, etc., due to the policies of some footy clubs. We get hold of Adam Gotsis 30 minutes after he finishes his first practice session with the Denver Broncos, and he comes on to have a chat with us. He, for mine, and the fact that in 3 years' time, if he gets a second contract, might be getting $60 million, he's my Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Yeah, great call there, Howie. And well, thank you very much to the Denver Broncos getting access to players. It's amazing. So,
Donkey of the Week.
There was a quote by a famous tennis player. I don't care about that match point, he told News Corp Australia. Would you care if you were 23 and worth over $10 million? Bernard Tomic is
like
currently
it.
Ranked 22, but come on, mate. Please. You're the...
He's the first donkey to week. You're playing for Deer Park. Where and when?
Deer Park today at Deer Park. Grand final replay against Werribee District. It's going to be a cracker and there'll be a snag fest.
Chappie is the coach there. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Listen to the podcast. We'll be back next week from 9 a.m. Have a great week.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast, brought to you by Smeg Classic Rewards, on offer now at Harvey Norman for a limited time.